Hey, we're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, and we are live from Jake's Burgers and Beers today, and it's going to be Marsh Lane, 10031 Marsh Lane, right here off of Walnut Hill and Marsh. And this is the old neck of the woods. My wife used to work right around here for a while as well.
Your old hood?
Yeah, the old hood over there. Actually, we were a little further east growing up, but I love this area over here. And the thing about this this one, they have a huge patio, outdoor patio in the back. Umbrellas covering and everything. They got an arcade over there as well. Full bar over here. Fantastic beer selection. They got Peticola's Velvet Hammer. You got the Manhattan Project. They got all sorts of beers that are local. Also, if you like the Ballast Point Sculpin IPA, that one's available, as well as your Miller Lights, Coors Lights, Bud Lights.
Are you a beer snob?
I got to know a lot of the local breweries around here and brewers, and I started brewing.
He's got a brewing shirt on.
Yeah, this is Martin House that we used to work with, too. They're out in Fort Worth. They're great dudes. We had the show out there. Yeah, we were out there for having a good time. It was just a party. It was a Christmas party.
That's what it was.
And so that was the thing, I kind of got to know a lot of the brewers around here because I was interested in brewing myself. Yeah. And I made a few beers, and the Peticola's Velvet Hammer was the first one I replicated. And I was like, this is the one. So it's always my favorite beer, and also a pretty cool logo.
What will be the name of the Corey Majors draft when it finally does
the
launch?
The company. I've already decided it's called Long Night Brewing.
Long Night.
And that's also my Call of Duty name.
Have you trademarked that yet?
I need to.
You might need
otherwise
to.
Otherwise, that lady's going to come in and steal it and then sue me like Alec was talking about yesterday. And we don't want that, Alec, do we?
No, not at all.
Think about it for a second.
Over here, happy hour specials, 3 to 6 today.
Okay.
The first 50 people here get Jake's 40th anniversary collector's pint glass. 4 lucky winners are going to get that limited edition jersey. It's a Jake's jersey. It's green, pinstripes, looks awesome. And the 1 lucky winner is going to get here. Somebody said they would come in and shake their butt for it. But I think there's a different way that you're going to be able to win it. I think you got to see Izzy.
Depends on who's doing it.
Take care of you here.
Depends on who's doing
1 lucky winner is going to get 2 tickets, compliments, a new vodka, to the Lexus Club seats. That's all you can eat. And I don't know if it's all you can drink, but I know you get some drinks as well. All right. Rangers Astros, though. And you want to be there for Rangers Astros.
Hey, absolutely.
You want to be there to tear down the Astros as they fall apart and the Rangers continue to take over the division. That's what we're really shooting for. Hopefully, we get to continue to get some wins in some series here.
Take care of these Phillies first.
Philadelphia Phillies are on slate right now. And Merrill Kelly is on the mound for you tonight. By the way, Merrill Kelly, I was like, okay, he's been in the National League. He was playing with the Diamondbacks. How did he do against the Phillies? Merrill Kelly is 2-1 with a 2.73 ERA, 20 Ks.
I see you, Merrill Kelly.
5 appearances versus Philadelphia in his career. Last one was a pretty good. Pretty much gets to about 6 innings every single outing against Philadelphia.
But you live with that.
And in very few runs, I will take that. If this team can score some runs, it'll be even better. But yeah, this is a significant series. I always look at these types of series, Fred. Mm-hmm. By the way, tomorrow night's game will be on 1080 KRLD. So the Cowboys game is going to be on the Fan.
Call.
And then the Rangers will be on 1080 KRLD, our sister station as well. But I always take these as like, hey, how good are you? You know, like you compare yourself a little bit to these teams. Maybe you sandbag them. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like maybe you say, I'm going to sandbag them a little bit. But at the same time, you're trying to figure out how good is that team and how far away are we from being that team? Or are we better than that team? And did we show them what we got? So that's what I'm hoping for the Rangers as they take on the Philadelphia Phillies, man. Because Kyle Schwarber, like that's one of those dudes wanted. I've always heard, great teammate.
Yeah,
we watch him for about 3 years. I always said it seems like every time there's a big moment in
baseball,
he's at the plate, and that's just one of those kind of guys. So
now you took the words right out of my mouth because that's what I was going to say about. I mean, dude, he did it at the All-Star game, right?
Yes.
I mean, you know, and you know, raise your hand if you found out during the All-Star game that they did a home run off.
Yeah,
because I didn't know. Okay, me and Blake are sitting there doing radio, and we're looking up. We're like, why are they doing a home run derby at the end of this ball game? Anywho, no, Kyle Schwarber is that guy, man, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, right? When you talk about the whether it's the Blue Jays and the Dodgers and you know the Yankees. I mean, this you know these top notch. You know, you took 2 out of 3 from the Tigers to kick things off. This Ranger team, see, and that's what again we'll go back to the reoccurring theme here when it comes to this team is that. They do
compete.
Yes.
It's not like they're getting, you know, what was it a few years ago with the Cowboys where, okay, you beat the teams you were supposed to, and with outside of maybe the Lions game, you know, you were just okay against great teams,
yeah.
right? And the NFL, you can really demonstrate that, right?
Yeah.
Where you can beat up on the lower halves of the team.
That's been the Cowboys over like the last 3 years,
right?
Now, for
and,
sure,
and,
yeah.
and yet when it comes to the PTPers of the world, you're like, okay, you guys just aren't ready for prime time.
Right.
The Rangers have not been that team.
No.
Okay? It's not like the Rangers just beating up on the Rockies and the White Sox of the world and then getting housed by the White Sox, you know, by the Red Sox, the Yankees, or whoever. I feel extremely confident in this baseball team, in the pitching. We've talked about it time and time again. And, you know, when you've got a Merrill Kelly who's been there, done that, so you like your chances tonight. But we're going to beat this drum over and over again until we see somebody finally start to break through. And maybe we can, you know, sleep a little bit easier or at least rest a little easier knowing that, okay, somebody not named the usual suspects, we talked about it yesterday, steps up, steps through. I'm looking at Jock Peterson.
Okay.
Jock Peterson is the guy, and I know that's kind of an easy target right now, but at the same time, you know, we had a guy last night, shout out to our boy Colin on the Fan Phenom audition, and, you know, you're not really supposed to say anything when they do their thing.
Okay.
He said Josh Jung
okay.
was going to be the catalyst if this team's going to break through.
I always agree with that.
I'll tell you this. Somebody, whether it's a Josh Jung, I don't know if Jonah Heim, who, I think it was G-Bag was talking about it yesterday. I can't remember, somebody, one of the shows, morning or afternoon, what he's been like since that World Series run.
Jonah Heim. Dude, after they were done, Jared was telling us he was at breakfast, just melted in a chair.
Yeah.
Because he had caught every freaking game, and he was just exhausted.
Do you think that's...
But he hasn't been the same.
Right. And so, you know, is it a situation where you're just, it's kind of, you know what it is? It's kind of like Martin Maldonado.
Okay.
Martin Maldonado, over the last half decade, Ranger fans know this, Astro fans certainly know this, one of the best defensive catchers in baseball.
Yeah, calls a great game.
Okay, tremendous. Couldn't hit his way out of a wet paper
sack. Except for the couple against the Rangers
where
they just got rocked.
Absolutely.
And he had to stand up.
Well,
I made a bad call.
It's a good problem to have, right? It's a good problem to have if you're the Rangers. But is Jonah Heim morphing into that?
Okay.
Where he's becoming a non-factor at the plate. I think he's got, a 600 OPS or something like that. Great defensive catcher.
Yeah.
Okay? Calls a great game. You don't worry about him behind the plate. At the plate, I think we're starting to get to that point in baseball with him where it's now anything he gives you is a bonus,
yeah.
And you're just going to accept the fact that we're probably 1-for-4, 1-for-5, 0-for-4. Like that's maybe he can draw a couple walks. Like maybe that's going to be the
single,
MO.
You know, like there used to be a time with him where he would go 1-for-3, but it was a bomb.
Yeah,
you know, and you felt like you were getting some power and pop out of him, and you definitely haven't felt completely that way about him. Like that he's progressed and taken off.
Right.
He's been kind of middle through the season. I think I saw there was a number about his OPS, or there was a specific number that he was lower than Jock Peterson, and I was like, oh man, that's not a good number to be lower than. So that's kind of rough, but I that's why they got Higgy. They wanted some pop at that position, a guy that could rotate in and out. All the pitchers seem comfortable throwing to Higgy as well, so you got that out as well. But Heim's a switch hitter.
A
switch hitter that you can throw in the lineup on frequent days, and you're just hoping he finds his timing at some point and gets that pop back, because it has felt like you've seen him more frustrated slamming that bat down.
The consternation after every
He's one of those guys, you know, Phil Maton, you watch him on the mound, he looks so disinterested in pitching. I don't know if y'all, 877-881-1053, Phil Maton gets up on the mound, and it looks like he closes his eyes and takes a little nap before he throws every pitch. Have you noticed this about him? Just... And then he throws, and you're like, oh man, that was fantastic. But in the clubhouse, dude's got a personality.
Yeah.
Jonah Heim, it looks like every ball that passes, it's just like, oh my gosh. And sometimes the body language, I'm like, hey man, I'd like a little more from him, but I'm not going to hit him too much. They still got a long way to go here. Josh Jung, though, on that idea,
yeah.
I've always thought this because of his energy.
Mm-hmm.
If he does something, the team feeds off of it.
Oh, no
doubt. He's the only guy that's not even keel, because he will be very positive on that side of it. I don't see him negative too much, but it seems like he's just always very positive on things, where everybody else, the Corey Seegers, Marcus Simeons, everything's very flat with those guys. And that's one of the reasons that you see the Bash Brothers stuff with Adolis. They feed off of that. But Josh is one of those guys that's like, I don't feel like I can do it unless I'm performing. And I think a lot of us are that way anyway, right?
Look, I thought he did a great job. Explaining to, and he was very candid with G-Bag earlier in the week, part of their player show. Make sure you guys tune into that.
Yes.
Odyssey at 105 through the Fan. You know what time it is. But he did, you know, they asked him about, you know, being sent down to Round Rock, and he said, you know, he didn't really want to get into it too much, but he just talked about how he was pressing. You know, he goes, you know, you can't hit a 5-run home run.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it told me is it, and again, not to sound all, you know, Tony Robbins or anything like that, but it humanized him,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I think sometimes we forget, man, like, look, these guys make it look so easy, but at the same time, they're struggling too. They're, you know, and baseball, again, it's the most singular team sport there is. And so, you know, it's just you and that guy. It's just you and the pitcher, you know, in, you know, that duel that's going on. And I go back to what Kevin Pillar said. And I know it was lambasted at the time he said it, but I think, and I don't know that he was trying to be inflammatory. And again, he talked about it just, he tweeted out a couple days ago that, yeah, he was a little upset about things. But when he talked about how guys were more, even if they won, they were more wrapped up in their own failures than they were the victory.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Like, I think people misconstrued that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't hard to see that the offense was not where they wanted it to be. How many times did Bochy come on a post-game show after losing 2-1? I just keep staying at it. Mm-hmm. You know, I keep telling these guys.
That's who he is, too.
And that's who he is.
It's all about the work.
And it's at some point, I mean, look, that message either gets tired and stale, or you just keep chopping wood and say, all right, we're going to break through,
yeah.
right? We're going to figure it out. And right now, this offense, again, you got the highs, the lows, the ebbs, the flows, as we see with baseball. You had a six-week stretch where this team was, and again, I don't know if we're still the highest run-scoring team since June 7th, that arbitrary number. It feels like the offense has kind of taken a step back the last week or so mm-hmm. after you know, the great start from what went down after the All-Star break. I would like to see, I'm not going to say you have to have a huge breakout, but I need to see somebody, whether it's a Higashioka, whether it's a Josh Young. I'd like to see Josh Smith hit a home run this weekend,
mm-hmm.
okay? You need to see somebody in the bottom half of the order get hot.
I'd love to see Wyatt get hot.
I'd love
real
to,
hot.
Dude, you there know, you go. Let's see Wyatt
like,
get going.
Dude, he is unconscious right now.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen even Corey Seager, a couple of years ago, you were like, dude's unconscious. He steps to the plate.
He's calmed down
like,
a little
oh
bit.
Oh, my gosh. And I want to see that again. And when they liven up, things will be good. But one of the things that we were discussing the other day, who's chasing you? Cleveland Guardians have now tied you in the wild card standings.
Okay.
They are also 1.5 games back. We'll talk a little bit about some of the tiebreakers coming up in Baseball Nuggets. We'll get to those in just a minute. We are live from Jake's off Marsh Lane in Dallas today. I want you to come on out and get your pint glass. You're also an opportunity for Jake's edition baseball jerseys and a couple of tickets to the Rangers game against the Astros. Those are all available. It's going to be awesome. Lexus Club seats right there. So we'll be here until 2 o'clock today. Fred, last night we did get football action. All right, we did finally.
Yeah, I didn't get to see any of it.
Football season, because you were busy last night. Did they have it on it that the Jake's out
they
there?
They did.
But
they
you were
did.
Just you were
Man,
locked
we were
in.
Locked in.
Your
dude.
Radio guy.
We
you're locked in.
Dude.
I get
Chia
that.
Follow, like I said, I can't say enough about our boy Chief last night. He was doing the Lord's work out there.
The
sexy.
I got to watch a little bit of the Ravens game last night. That was. It was football. It existed, and
how
it
bad
happened.
Is Anthony Richardson, by the way?
Anthony Richardson is not good. And I'm glad that you asked, because I wanted to dive in on one of the things, because I feel like it is football season. Like,
oh,
I,
no, we're
I do,
there, dude.
I do feel
we're
football
there.
Season here. I'm in baseball season, but football season, and tomorrow night, obviously, whenever the Cowboys game
full,
happens,
full go.
It'll be popped. But Anthony Richardson, he's one of those guys that's just very unaware.
Dude.
Mike was talking about this the other day about Kamar Rocker and how little football he played or baseball he
yes,
played.
Yes.
And then so what happens? He's like, he's so talented, though. You got to give him chances.
Right.
And you get him out there at a high level. But now he doesn't know how to hold on runners.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't know to cover first. You know, you watch Eovaldi, he's a professional. And not only a professional, but an elite professional.
Yeah, he is.
And so that's great for Rocker to be able to be with him and ask questions and stuff. Anthony Richardson kind of at the same thing. Very athleticism off the charts.
Yeah.
But doesn't see the game the same way. And there was one play where he did not see what was happening, should have been checking his right side, got popped.
Just look over.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, just look over. Wow.
Here's the line, though. You know it was weird. He hit me. Then I was trying to make sure I had the ball. I just look down, and I see my finger in a different direction. I'm like, maybe I'm tripping. And then I look at it again, and it was definitely like that. So I'm like, I need to get this thing popped back in place, and I'm going to be good. Finger just shooting the other direction, and that's that nasty stuff. And then Joe Burrow, after their game, they score a couple of touchdowns on two drives. And he's like, offense has to be better. And like that's the difference between two different quarterbacks, too. This guy's like, I still got to figure out how to make reads. Because
where my fingers
went. Reading him's as easy as reading Goodnight Moon. You know, it's one of those things you're just like, I know exactly what's going on. Joe Burrow, you're like, I don't know exactly. And this dude's still commanding more and demanding more out of his team.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's here we are, ramping into football season, and it's an absolute blast right now.
Okay, so did you catch any of the Bengals game then?
No, I didn't know what channel it was on.
Well, the preseason, you know,
I knew I had NFL Network for the other two games.
You get wild setups with preseason football,
I was
right?
Like, man, do I need to go like to a Cincinnati station or
something? Well, there's that, and then you got just random people doing play-by-play and color commentary or big names doing like locals commentary that you're like, you know, what is this all about? But you wonder this year, since you saw Joe Burrow, it looks like our guy Aaron Rodgers might get some run. I wonder if we're going to see Dak Prescott.
He talked a little bit about that yesterday, and he said he is willing to go if they ask him.
I mean, don't you think? I mean, because let's call it what it is. All right, what has this? I on one hand, I get it. If you've got a veteran quarterback, it makes sense, and we can get into this more. But what has this Cowboys offense proven?
Mm-hmm.
To suggest, let's go ahead and give our guys, we'll be fine September 4th,
absolutely
just roll this football out.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing so far, and I think you're dead on. By the way, the coverage tomorrow, they'll start things with DeMarco Farr from the Rams play-by-play tomorrow as they get things rolling, starting at 3 o'clock out at SoFi. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, let's chit-chat with our friend Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. We're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. We are live from Jake's off of Marsh Lane in Dallas, 10031 Marsh Lane. Come check us out. Get one of your pint glasses. Got a first 50 people that swing through. Get a pint glass, Jake's 40th anniversary collector's glass. Four lucky winners get the limited edition Jake's baseball jersey. And you can also register to win a pair of tickets to Rangers Astros. That's on the, I think, September 7th is going to be that game. That's one you're going to want to be at. So get in here today to take advantage of that, and also hang out with us. Jake's awesome, dude. Like Jake's has amazing burgers.
Back-to-back Jake's nights for your boy. So
yeah, go come in here, get a Flamin' Rooster. You'll love it. All right, right now it is time to go out to Oxnard, California, where our friend Mickey Spagnuolo is standing by. Mickey is brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Mickey, how's it going today, man?
Great. How are you guys today?
Well, Friday. I mean, we're healthy on a Friday, so that's a good thing. Yesterday, I was concerned that we might not have enough healthy players to go into Saturday. How are we feeling about yesterday's practice?
Yeah, I think that the running back position is going to be a little stressed come tomorrow for the first preseason game, having seen Jaden Blue go down with an ankle. They already, you know, Deuce just got back into practice yesterday, but he really didn't get any team reps, so I doubt that he plays. Miles Sanders is out, and I would doubt that Javonte Williams would play on Saturday. So that kind of leaves you with Hunter Lipke, Marfa, and I think I'm running out of guys, right? That's going to be a pretty thin group coming to the first preseason game. I'm not sure how long Blue will be out. It was unfortunate. I don't know what got into Sam Williams, but he yanked him from his face mask, and it looked like he probably hurt his neck, but he twisted his ankle. So we'll see how long he's going to be out. The Ferguson one was pretty scary when he went down. And, you know, they were in pads, and he got kind of sideswiped and ended up with a back. At least he walked off, so at least that gave you some hope that it's not a major injury. But again, you never know until guys wake up the next morning to see exactly where they're at.
Yeah, the on that one, it didn't, like, when I watched it, I was like, okay, he did get sideswiped. It was a really good use of that. And, you know, when you're caught off guard like that, you know, you never know how your body's going to react. How did Kenneth Murray react afterwards, though?
Yeah, he went over there and was trying to help him out. And, you know, he said, you know, things happen in that close to in the red zone. And it, he said it just happened. And he goes, you know, you don't want to hurt. I thought this was pretty funny. He says, you don't want to hurt one of your teammates. He said, if it happens to a guy on another team, I could care less. So that kind of gives you his mentality about playing linebacker, right?
Yeah, yeah, that dude will hit you.
Mickey, so running back, I mean, hey, I'll tell you what, not that anybody's celebrating anybody getting hurt, but, I mean, for Phil Maffa, who has been, you know, hasn't had the most repetitions in camp, this could be kind of a opportunity for him to get a heavy, you know, lion's share of the carries tomorrow. What are you looking at as far as the left tackle position, which is already a position in flux? Who do you look at tomorrow to kind of maybe go out there, get good reps, and kind of reestablish themselves as a leader out there?
Well, at left tackle, I mean, they've been using Nate Thomas, and he pretty exclusively yesterday in practice was the left tackle with the first team. So I would imagine that he's going to get some exposure out there. You know, we got to remember about him. The last time he played in a football game would have been with Louisiana in 2023, right? He missed everything last year. He was placed on IR. So what he did in that scrimmage was probably that was the first time he actually played against another team. So I'm anxious to see how he reacts now that he got that scrimmage under his belt and maybe has a little bit more confidence in himself. And I think sometimes guys like that, especially when they, you know, you've got Jared Verse against you and you know who he is, and you're probably going, oh, okay, can I do this? And I think as the day went on, he did better. He has to remember that he's got long arms, and he's got to use his arms and not his chest to stop guys from the pass rush part of it. And so we'll see if he comes along there. Ossam Richards is kind of getting the second team reps there, and I don't know that he's made a move yet to overtake Thomas. So right now it's Nate Thomas, and we'll see how he does. And see, this is where these preseason games are so important for young guys like that to get reps against another team. And it gives guys like him that nobody really kind of knew about or knows about in other positions that give an opportunity to kind of show what they might be able to do. But if you continue to decrease the amount of preseason games, and I understand that, you know, people don't want to have to pay money to go for to see preseason games, but in situations like this, these games are vitally important to a young Cowboys team that have a lot of positions that they got to sort out with some guys that not many people know about.
What's the latest, real quick, and I might be the only person outside of Akeem Adeniji's family that cares about this next question. What's the latest and greatest on him?
On who? I'm sorry.
My fellow Jayhawk, Akeem Adeniji.
You know what? He ended up, I think it was yesterday, He got a couple first-team snaps in place.
Okay, rock chalk.
So they kind of, be careful with the rock chalk, okay?
Easy. What's that supposed to
mean? He's a Missouri Tiger.
He's a Missouri Tiger. You went to that overrated journalism school in Columbia. Okay, I hear you.
Journalism school in Columbia,
Well, see, we won a Hearst National Championship when I was there. I don't know what that means, sorry. I went to the premier journalism school in the Midwest.
You know, he got some opportunities, so yeah. I think that he's kind of showed up well so far.
Okay.
And you know, they've got to keep 9-10 offensive linemen. So I think he's got his hand in the air as, you know, don't forget about me. So, yeah.
Nice.
And again, opportunity, that's what these guys have to earn to get a chance to go out there and show what they can do. And so all these reps they get in these practices are vital for guys like that to kind of show up and say, okay, well, let's see if we give you this, how well you do. So, if nothing else, and I know, it's not much of a consolation, but you make the practice squad and you never know because you continue to get work during the season.
Yeah, that's always important. Mickey, this roster, how much of it would you say is completely set? Like, what percentage would you say is locked in and what percentage is wide open? Because you just kind of mentioned that just a second ago. If you were to put a percentage number.
Yeah, I would think that there's probably, just off the top of my head, like maybe 10 spots available, which
all
is...
Right.
It's a good sum, too.
It's a significant number, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, what do we got, 2-3 weeks to go? And, you know, I hate to say this, but injuries do occur.
Absolutely, they do.
And so, again, when these young guys like Zion Childress getting opportunities to kind of show what he can do in the slot, Keeman Hall in the slot, that makes a difference if they get opportunities and take advantage of them. Because, you know, at the cornerback position, if they had to play next week, Trayvon Diggs is not ready to go.
True.
Josh Butler is not ready to go. So now you've got this dilemma on where I use Deron Bland. Or is he doing both? Like, in base defense, he's my outside cornerback. Now, when I go to nickel, does he have to go in the slot? Well, if he goes in the slot, then somebody else has got to be playing well enough to play on the outside. So they got to sort out the cornerback position for sure. And I think there's a lot of candidates at defensive end right now to be able to, figure out who are the backup guys that are going to come in and possibly make the team, and then the rest of the offensive line. So I think you've got to be able to sort those things out. We mentioned the running back thing. That's certainly not settled. I think at wide receiver, we pretty much know probably 5 guys, but can somebody say, hey, I'm the 6th guy, you got to put me on the 53, otherwise if you got to release me and try to get me on the practice squad, somebody else might pick me up. And that's another thing that has to be considered too, because sometimes you don't want to expose somebody that you know you want to keep up maybe on the practice squad, and then somebody grabs them when you have to release them and then re-sign them. So there's a little cat and mouse stuff that goes on towards the end here in those last couple preseason games. Like, I don't want to expose this guy because I would sure like to keep him, but if I show too much, somebody might sign him to their 53. So there's a lot of that goes on in these next couple weeks.
Mickey Spagnuolo, Cowboys Insider, joining us, talking all things Dallas Cowboys ahead of tomorrow's big game against the Los Angeles Rams. You mentioned, obviously, Kenneth Murray. It feels like that's the first time out. I mean, we've heard Kenneth Murray's name twice this year, right? Knocking out Jake Ferguson yesterday and then having a kid. God bless him. That said, now that we've finally had some physical practices, now we've had some padded practices from a linebacker perspective, now that you've had to kind of really put your eyes on guys and see kind of the physicality of it, see what this new scheme looks like, who stood out to you?
Yeah, I think the two linebackers. Well, you know what? kind of the unknown linebackers, because I'm not sure everybody was familiar with Kenneth Murray. And I want to say it was Schottenheimer when he first was asked about Kenneth Murray, and he said he plays like a grown-ass man.
Yeah, he does.
And he does, right? And he's the guy that was wearing the green dot in his helmet, even though he was not considered the middle linebacker. He was one of the outside linebackers. I think Jack Sanborn quietly has shown that he has the instincts to play in the middle. Now, you kind of worry about his size. That's like 6'2", 235 off the top of my head. Not great size for a middle linebacker, but you know what? Eric Kendricks last year wasn't a big middle linebacker, but he was fast, he was quick, and he had instincts. And so if you could compensate for your lack of size, I think Leofau has had a good camp. And the guy that has sort of kind of reestablished himself is Damone Clark.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
He got lost last year in, I don't know if it was scheme, if the coaches didn't like his style of play. But I think we forget that the year before, he led this team in tackles.
Yep.
And I think he has reestablished himself. Maybe he's not a starter, but I think he's a rotation guy and a guy that you can use, because he's been all over the field. He's been playing physical. So, I think that from a linebacker spot that we didn't know a lot about, I think they might have reestablished themselves So I think guys like that, especially at the linebacker spot, I think have stood out.
Mickey, thank you so much for your time, all your hard work this week. We look forward to talking with you next week as well, and I know you're going to be a very busy man tomorrow out there at SoFi. Have a good one, all right?
Yeah, we got a pregame show that starts at 5 Three. O'clock Central. Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll get this thing rolling. Looking forward to it.
M-I-Z.
Right here on the Fan. There he goes. Mickey Spagnuolo, our Dallas Cowboys insider, always helping us out. Coming up next in Baseball Nuggets, Rangers math you can digest. I know Kevin's not here. I'm still doing math anyway. Next on the Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. We are at Jake's today, ladies and gentlemen, off of Marsh Lane in Dallas. 10031 Marsh Lane. Come on by. It's at the corner of Walnut Hill and Marsh. And this is a great location for one. Full bar in the front side. We got a patio in the back. We have arcade in here as well. And plenty of fantastic burgers. The Flamin' Rooster is always a great option as well if you're looking for a chicken sandwich kind. Just be aware. It's warm, all right? It's very hot. I've always loved that chicken sandwich.
Which sandwich is this?
It's the Flamin' Rooster.
Okay.
Go check that out on the menu, man. That's a good one there. I've always been a good one. You know, I love the classic double. You know, it's always a good option as well.
My son raved about it last
week. Yeah, it's phenomenal. And like I said, man, my whole life, we had one right around the corner in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. That was where we were. And so I love what they're doing now. They've expanded what they're doing. They're growing into the place to be. If you want to watch a game, Jake's is where it's going to be at. Right now, it's time to rock into some Baseball Nuggets, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Oh, hey, by the way, if you do like baseball, come out today. You got a chance to get two tickets, compliment a new vodka to the Lexus Club seats for Rangers Astros. That's going to be September 7th, so you want to be ready for that one, plus some other things to give away. Lucky winners today going to get a Jake's baseball jersey, limited edition. It looks sweet. So swing on by. Have yourself some lunch and enjoy your time with us today. Last night, we're going to get to some Rangers numbers here in just a minute. Paul Skeens, we've been talking about this guy and like how dominant he is. He's probably an NL Cy Young candidate. He's going to be rocking through that. He didn't have the cleanest start to last night's game. The Pirates, he pitched 6 scoreless innings, though. Gave up the most runs he's given up and lowered his ERA. Or, I'm sorry, most hits he's given up.
Okay.
But still lowered his ERA. This dude is everything that he was sold to be.
Yeah. No, he absolutely has been.
This dude is, it's amazing. The most he's allowed in 47 starts, 7 hits. That's the most he's given up in 47 starts is only 7 hits. It's not just that the dude doesn't give up runs. He doesn't give up opportunities, and it's because he's out there just gassing them.
And the unfortunate part is that he plays in a market that is not great, and gets no national attention. And if you're a baseball fan, I mean, if you're a dye-in-the-wool baseball fan, yes, you're paying attention to the Paul Skeens of the world. And that's what separates the NFL, who, as you alluded to yesterday, says its competitors are Google and Apple.
Right, yeah.
And not the MLB and not the NBA, because even if you're a good quarterback on a crappy team, we're going to know who you are.
That's true.
Okay, the average fan is going to know who you are because chances are you're going to get put on a national. I mean, even if it's a crappy Thursday night game, guess what? You're the only game on Thursday night.
That's true.
All right, and, you know, if you're Joe Burrow on, and again, obviously the Bengals are a lot better, but, you know, you and I know the Bengals for being a crap franchise.
Right, most of their lives.
Not to say they still aren't, but the Bengals are still the Bengals. I mean, they're the Bungles, right?
The mighty Bengals of Cincinnati.
But even before they became the Bengals that went to a Super Bowl that contends for NFC North titles, we watched them because we wanted to see Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Baseball doesn't have that luxury, right? Because you don't the guy's not going out and pitching every day. So, unfortunately, a guy like Paul Skeens is masked by the fact that you only see him once every 5 days, and the game's hard to find. I don't know that the Pittsburgh Pirates, outside of the time I watched them against the Rangers, and oh, by the way, Rangers didn't face Paul Skeens in that three-game set. When are you watching? When are you going to watch the Pirates all season?
No, never.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's...
Unless they play my team. I'm not
unless
seeking them out.
Unless they play your team, and that's one thing that baseball and Rob Manfred are going to have to figure out, that you're wasting, and I hate, and you know, remember how guru was the term that we kind of beat the hell out of? Generational talent is kind of that new word that we're beating the hell out of,
okay.
Right? Everybody's a generational talent.
Yeah,
now.
It's a good cliche.
Paul Skeens is a generational talent.
He absolutely is.
Okay?
Yeah.
Like, we've bastardized that word so much, but Paul Skeens really is.
Is Luka in the NBA, is he a generational talent, or is he just an exceptional talent that showed up on the scene? Because we kept saying, did use that word about him a lot. And offensively, I mean, I think Kevin Durant offensively is a generational talent, but not not overall.
Can you be a generational talent and not play defense?
I don't think so. That's why I just said Durant is
Cooper
this version
Flagg
of that.
Feels kind of generational to me, but hey, I might be in the minority.
He's still got to polish up the. No, I see what you're saying.
But you get what I'm saying.
The best thing that happened to MLB with the Paul Skeens was him being with Livy Dunn, because
That
gets him in GQ magazine. Right. It gets him on all these other things. That he's a dude that's not going to seek that stuff out anyway.
No,
because he a lot just like a lot of baseball players, they want to show up, do their job, play their game, and go home. Like that's just how they want to be.
Super hot girlfriend.
Yeah, and so the best thing that happened was he has somebody that's a content creator that he's with, and for baseball purposes, that she's like, hey, promote the game, you know, but also. This is our lifestyle behind the scenes, and this is the guy he is. And he's just like, yeah, I'm here.
If only he had an interpreter who was betting millions of dollars that we could find out later,
See?
May or may not have looped him
Dude,
in.
Dude, and that's another, like, Shohei is the person in baseball.
Yeah.
Because he's an amazing slugger. He pitches also. He's in the California market. He's big.
He's
larger than life.
He's a Dodger.
You ever seen that dude in person? He actually is larger than life.
He's a big dude.
Yes.
He's a big-ass dude.
Yeah.
No, I was actually shocked when I saw him. I mean, he's every bit of 6'4", 240. Like, he could be a Rams tight end.
When we were out at the Dodgers game, me and Ruben and Carter and Kevin were out there watching him. We're up in the 300 sections. Dude looked like he was looking me in the face. I was like, geez, giant. So that's a little bit on some stuff that happened last night with Paul Skeens. All right, I want to dive in on the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Some numbers. All right, nobody loves math.
I do.
You do?
No.
All right, then. Here we go.
I know the Pythagorean theorem.
All right, what is it?
A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Now, anything else?
Uh-huh. I have no clue.
I got nothing else. No, that was
Give
my point. I have zero.
Y-axis.
Remember when your teacher used to say you'll never have a calculator in your pocket?
Well, we have one all the time.
Oh my God.
All
day, every
day. And you know what? It's a graphing calculator. I have
it
a graphing
really
calculator
scientific.
If I want.
It's a TI-85.
The Rangers have a 34.9% chance to make the playoffs, according to
FanGraphs. Say that one more time.
34.9% of making the playoffs. That's after the series win.
Huh? You're going to round that up to 35?
Let's go ahead and rock 35 with that. Those are the seventh best odds in the American League. six teams get into the
playoffs.
I
was just getting ready to say, don't only six teams make it?
Six teams get in. They're the seventh best odds right now, so they got a little bit of work to do. The Rangers have a 27.6% chance to clinch the wild card. All right, so they can clinch a wild card spot, 27.6% chance right now. They were 1.5 games behind the Yankees for the third wild card spot on Thursday, 3 games back of Seattle. Now, as I told you this morning, Cleveland has jumped up. Now they're tied with them 1.5 games back. So the Rangers are kind of sitting there waiting on this series with Philadelphia to get started to help them out. Each win, and this is from Sean McFarland, by the way, for the morning news. Each win as members of the Rangers are quick to state, very important given the way they stand right now. Two things can be true. Some wins against some teams do matter more.
I agree.
And why is that? Because tiebreakers. The tiebreakers are always, like, they're hugely important. You go up against these teams. Cleveland is one of those teams. 1.5, they're tied with them right now. And that's one of those teams that you have to battle with. You have to win games against them if you get that opportunity. And the Royals. So those two teams right there hunting and chasing down the Rangers and teams that you're going to have to beat. But here's the deal. Rangers, they have a 7.3% chance of winning the AL West. That's taking down the Astros. I'll take 7.3. It's going to bump up to 10 here soon. All right, get ready for that, Fred. I see that little smile on your face.
I'm more nervous about the Mariners, dude.
This schedule, though, that the Rangers have coming up is
brutal.
A bit of a gauntlet. I know they got the Blue Jays. They got Philly. What do we have after Philadelphia here?
Got this 3-game series against Philadelphia, and again, you're 36-21 at home right now. You're 24-35 on the road. I saw something today, and I was just kind of going through stats because look, baseball nerds. That's what you do.
That is true.
Did you know? And again, I'll just throw this out there, and just a little something you can throw out to your friends, and for all you fan phenom nerds out there, maybe you guys can use this in your argument for next week. Wyatt Langford, a guy that we would love to see get hot. I'd love to see him get hot at home.
Okay.
Right now he's actually batting higher on the road than he is at home. He's got a .267 batting average on the road, a .209 batting average .267 on the road, .209 at home. Now right? That's what I kind of jumped off the page.
The team's playing well at home, and he's not.
Not to mention, though, the one thing that is kind of getting lost in the shuffle, though, in the last 5 games, he's only had 4 hits, but he's drawn 6 walks, including 2 each in his last 3 games. So, again, love to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Love to see it. And
want
maybe,
more of it.
And here's the thing. Maybe, just maybe, we'll see Boach tinker with that lineup because Wyatt's been sitting in that 6th spot for a majority of the year. I'm starting to wonder with the way Adolis, and shout out to our Tolo that was texting in talking about the numbers and what have you as far as Adolis was concerned, striking out fewer times than he's had in the last few years at 26%, but with runners in scoring position, that's my biggest question. Do you see him? And I'd be curious to know tonight, will we see Boach tweak the lineup a little bit considering where guys are hitting on the road versus away?
That'll be up
or
soon.
At home.
That thing will be up soon. Before our show's over, we'll know exactly where they stand
Good
with
call.
That. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, what's your level of interest in this weekend's preseason opener for the Cowboys and the top 10 training camp cliches?
I love
we'll dive into those next here on The Fan, live from Jake's.